Those songs speak to individuals different ways, but all right, we get through it. Luke chapter 18, there's a portion of scripture that helped formulate our first point for this morning. And just for a few moments, I want to preach things we will need in 2024. As I said earlier in announcements that, man, I'm ready to get on with year 2024, I am ready. Let's move on. Let's get past it. And let's look to the word tonight. But there will be things that the child of God, the Christian, those that want to do things or do something for God, want to live a Christian life for God in 2024 that you're going to need. We are all going to need. And so we're going to draw our attention to that. Luke chapter 18, notice with me verse number 1. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Now let's read on verse 2, saying that there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, "Avenge me of my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" In verse 8, "And tell you," I said, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth?" Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you, and Father, we thank you for the special singing and the congregational singing, the offerings, and Father, that's been taken up. Father, for the prayer requests that we have mentioned, and Father, we thank you for the visitors that have come out, Father, this last day in 2023, and I pray that you would work in their hearts, work in all of our hearts this morning in regards to what we need to realize, to comprehend, Father, that we need from you in this new year that we're looking at. Father, I pray that you be with this message. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Be with our day today. Bless it. Watch over us, answer the prayer that we've brought before you. I pray in accordance to your will. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Here we see in verse 1 something that he says here, and he speaks about prayer. I want to notice the first thing that you and I will need in this new year is prayer. We will need prayer. And he says here in verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." There's a lot in our lives that need prayer. There's a lot in our lives that we allow to go on that we don't pray about. We go on and we move through our emotions more or less in the physical sense, thinking that, well, God's either it's not important enough to God, or God's really not involved in this part of my life, or I really don't need God. Maybe it was like this unjust man here about he didn't fear God. Neither did he regard man. Maybe that's our life. Maybe that's your life this morning. And looking at a new year, you certainly don't want to go into a new year not knowing or realizing that prayer is going to be an essential part of our new year. We should give prayer our first priority. When we work, but when we pray, God works. And we need to realize that and see that. I think this is what God was saying. Matter of fact, at the first start of this parable, he gives you basically the summary of what he's going to teach here. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Our nation this morning needs prayer. Our Bible tells us and commands us that we should pray for our nation. You know, it wouldn't be a bad thing to have a president that was pro-God, not just saying it, but pro-God. And then secondly, pro-life. And then thirdly, pro-gun, pro-Bible. Just a couple of simple things. I'm not, when I think of a president, I don't think, well, I'm electing a pastor for the nation. It's a president for the nation. You say, well, you probably don't, that would be Republican. It didn't matter if it's a Republican or Democrat or independent, but they're pro something that stands for God and the things of God. what happens to a nation without prayer is it comes apart at the seams, it fragments, and it's morally bankrupt. And our nation as a whole, yeah, there's a lot of good things going for it, but we are morally bankrupt as a country and as a nation. Why? It's because we don't have enough prayer. There's not enough prayer going on. Our nation needs prayer. You know something else, when you step down from the nation and you begin to look a little bit closer at the problem when it comes to prayer is our churches. Our churches are lacking prayer. There is no vision of faith, and there is no prayer that goes along with that faith. We kind of go through the motions, and when it doesn't work out mathematically, we think, well, we shouldn't do it. I don't think God wants us to move in that direction, regarding or disregarding the faith that we should have, disregarding the prayer that God can do abundantly above all that we ask or think. Prayer is something that we're going to need in this new year. And it's our churches that are bankrupt when it comes to prayer. We need to be a church of prayer. We need to not only pray for our leaders, pray for one another, pray for the sick and the lame, pray for our missionaries, and pray for the ministries that this church is working in, that it grow and that God see, we see fruit that remaineth. But it's only going to come through prayer. Prayer is important. The Bible says pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians. Pray without ceasing. You know, you look at the nation. It's a nation that is not a praying nation. I understand when somebody bombs us or we have a quiet time, they call, well, that's prayer. Well, if you rewind 50 years, it would be prayer. Not a quiet time, not a silent time, but it would be prayer to a monolithic God, the God that of heaven, the creator God. So we're not a nation really of prayer anymore. We're not churches of prayer anymore. It's if it doesn't work out on black and white, on a budget somewhere, then we don't do it. There's no faith and there's no prayer. And then our families. Well, why would a church lack prayer? Why would a nation be void of prayer? It's because when you really get even closer to the problem, it's our families. Our homes are prayerless homes. Well, we pray over our food, amen. Well, we do that out of duty because maybe that's how we were taught. But when it comes to the heart, when it comes to God speaking to you, there's no real connection. We just kind of go through the motion when it comes to prayer. Well, in 2024, our families are going to need more prayer in them. I don't think our country or our nation or the world as a whole is getting better. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to really say that, by the way. But it's going to take prayer in the new year. We need prayer. And so our nation, our churches, and our families are void of prayer. And hopefully this new year, we're not void. We understand that going into this year, that we're going to need prayer to get through it. There's something else that we're going to need for this new year. Take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Timothy. I believe it is 2 Timothy. At least we'll start there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. There are some very clear verses in 2 Timothy dealing with the pastoral epistle, and we have started a study on Wednesday in 1 Timothy, and we'll work our way eventually through 2 Timothy, but there's a verse here I want to key in, and it'll show us our next thing that we will need in this new year. The Bible says in verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and I need to make sure I'm turned on. I need to turn this lapel on. There we go. Verse 16, it says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now we see right off the bat that there's a number of things that he lists here in a chronological order about the Word of God or about Scripture. He uses the word all Scripture. And it's all inclusive. That is going to mean the Old Testament Scripture and the New Testament Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It comes from God. It's inspired by God and is profitable. It's going to have a profit to it, and it's going to going to tell you the areas that it's going to have a prophet in. Number one, he says for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The second one is we're not going to do a whole lot in 2024 unless we have the scriptures, God's word. We will need scripture to get through 2024 as a child of God. The Bible is not silent on this. If you move forward, we're right there next to chapter 4. Look at chapter 4. Look at verse 2. Notice what he says here, and he's commissioning or commanding this young pastor here, and he tells Timothy this. He says in verse 2, watch it carefully, preach the word. And so a lot of times there will be people who ask the question, well, why is there so much preaching, or why is there teaching, or why is scriptures paramount in your services? Well, this is where we get these commandments right here, verse 2. Preach the word. He says, and he goes on, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now look at verse 5, this catch. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You're going to find that our life as a child of God, as a Christian, that it's going to need scripture. You're going to need God's word to get through it. So, well, I have Time Magazine, I have the magazine of my choice, I have the apps that I get my knowledge or my wealth or my information from. Well, hopefully you have a Bible app and you take in every day scripture, because in 2024, you're going to need God's word in your life, not only in your life, but in your heart. Amen. So it's going to take prayer, and it's going to take scripture, God's word. God's word is essential for our own lives and foundational for ministry. These ministries that we're working in and that are moving forward, and they're going to go through growing pains. And I thank God sometimes for that, to see growing pains in certain areas. A lot of times you look at them as crisis, but they're not crisis, they're growing pains. It's growing a little bit, and that's healthy. That's a healthy thing. But I know two things. I know two things. It's going to take more prayer, number one. Number two, it's going to take more of God's word. They're essential components to not only our lives, but ministry. You cannot minister correctly without God's word. Amen. There are many churches, there's a lot of religion that do a very good job at mimicking God's word, but God's word's nowhere near it. You might have a catch verse here or there, but the fundamental, the framework, the glue, the fabric that keeps a ministry or a church together, or an individual, a Christian, a child of God, is God's word. Yeah. We're going to need God's word in 2024. Well, there's something else. We're close in that neighborhood. Turn to the left. Let's move to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we'll see something else here that is going to be essential in our new year. We know that we will need prayer, and we know that we will need scripture, God's word. But there's something else, and it touches more of a relationship area of our life as a Christian, as a child of God. And I'm under the assumption that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are a child of God and you are a Christian. And so looking at Colossians chapter 3, notice what the Bible says in verse 13. Now he's doing a lot of teaching here. And you have a lot of areas dealing with the body of Christ, or the church, you might say, and how it functions. You might look at verse 8, and he tells the child of God or the Christian in verse 8, but now ye also put off all these. And he goes through a list: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Amen. If you're a child of God, this is where you would go in the Bible to show or to teach yourself or somebody else that you shouldn't have filthy communications. Amen. You shouldn't have anger or wrath or malice or blasphemy. You say, what is blasphemy? That's anything against God's word or God's ways. You say, would a child of God do that? You better betcha. We're quicker at it than the world. The world, the lost person, the natural man, as the Bible says, is already at blasphemy.
And so we see here that we shouldn't be part of this. And he moves on in verse 9. He says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Who's doing this putting off? That's you. That's me. That's the child of God who has prayer life, who has a scriptural life. And then we're seeing this third point unfold, verse 10, and have put on the, say it with me, new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. Amen. And then verse 12, he says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now watch verse 13. Here's our third point. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ, that's our example, that's the foundation, that's the go-by. He said, even as Christ forgave you. Did God forgive you? Does God forgive you? He certainly does. He not only forgives you, he washes your sins away if you ask him. 1 John 1:9. He said he's faithful in this area. And here he says, even as Christ forgave you, so also, but I can't do it. But you can. But I can't. If you put off the old man, if you have a life of prayer, if you have scripture in your heart, he says here that we will need to go into this new year. We will need forgiveness one of another. Say, well, I think I can get through my life without forgiving anybody. If you only knew what they did to me. I can maybe I couldn't imagine. If you only knew what they said to me, or they didn't say to me, or how they disappointed me, or how they abused me. There's some horrendous stories just in this room. Humans are cruel, especially to one another. Very cruel. Some things it's hard to even get past or get over. And some things, some really important things leave a scar, and it's there. Whether it's a reminder, God keeps it there, whatever. But I do know one thing, that God's word is true. And what God is saying here, he says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. That means we have the capacity. We have the ability to forgive one another. It's the will. And we know it's the will. It's the heart. We know it's the heart. It's hardened. It's calloused. It's cold. It's calculated. And it doesn't want to forgive because we want our pound of flesh or whatever we're thinking. Here the Bible is instructing us this new year, not only will you need prayer, not only will you need the scripture, God's word in your heart, but you're going to need forgiveness in this year. There's going to be somebody that will disappoint you. Hopefully it's not me. Hopefully it's not me. Hopefully it's somebody else. But somebody will ultimately disappoint you, upset you, anger you. Say something or not say something to you. And look, you're going to go through a situation. You're going to have a trial, and it might take some forgiveness. And you're going to need to learn to forgive. The Bible says forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. I know in my life, my marriage, If there were times, she would have probably already left me for the things that I have done. But I'm thinking of the things she's done, Miss Allison. She's not here, is she? I don't know where she's at. I go. If I wouldn't have forgiven, I wouldn't be married. I wouldn't be here. It takes forgiveness. Married to sweet Allison. But she would easily testify to the fact I would have done left you first. But it takes forgiveness in a marriage. That's how it goes. If you want to stay together. Now, if you don't want to stay together, if you want bitterness, if you want anger, if you want wrath, if you want that part of in your life, you're going to get old, wrinkled, dry up, be angry, bitter. If you like all that, then don't learn how to forgive. You like sickness? You like pain? You like discomfort? You like confusion and things that don't make sense in your life? Don't learn to forgive. Amen. So the Bible is telling us that we need to forgive. We need to forgive and learn how to forgive. Colossians 3:13. There's more. We're close. Let's keep moving to the left. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'll hurry along here. And in the latter part of this chapter, verse 40. There is another area that will touch not only individuals, but this will touch homes, churches, and in our country as a whole. And we'll see 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. It's a very short verse. Look with me. And it says, the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. God, the God that we serve, God is a God of order. It doesn't take too much thinking or reading to look at Genesis. And you see the order that he has structured in the beginning part of the Pentateuch or the first five books. There's a lot of order to our God. Even it's carried over into the New Testament. The apostles are telling us, and he says right here, let all things, and he has said a whole lot in chapter 14. To unpack it all, it deals with tongues, it deals with church setting. It deals with a number of stuff, but he said, look, at the end of the day, after all this has been said in what you grasp, I want you to grasp this, and it's verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. In 2024, we will need order. We will need order. You'll need order in your life. Godly order, not a overlording. I'm not speaking of that. I'm speaking of godly order in your life, in your Christian life. Again, I'm supposing that you're a child of God. And amen, you probably are this morning. There might be somebody here that hasn't accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. We'll deal with that in a moment. But dealing with a child of God in 2024, you're going to need some order. We need order in our country. Amen. It's a mess. You've got two parties fighting, going back and forth, and you want to think, well, I'll watch the Congress and they'll make sense. They have the purse, you know. And then you get this fighting back and forth. Some of it's real, most of it's not. Then you look at the Senate, say, well, I'll watch the senators. And then they're fighting back and forth. What is going on? They need some order. Something's not right. And it's a tit for tat. I think they need the point we just made about needing forgiveness. But our country needs order. All countries need order, and they need God. But God brings order. Then our homes are so out of order. They're so out of place. So how do you know that? Because of the problems and the struggles and the counseling that you deal with people and individuals, it's out of order homes. The children are out of order. The mother is out of order. The father's out of order. God's nowhere near in the mix. They think they have God in the mix, but he's really not in the mix. He's only there when they need him. A little bit more salt. He's not essential. And so there's no order. We will need order in 2024 in our country, in our homes, in our church. Amen. There should be order in the church. And I believe here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, this is indeed the setting, doctrinally, is a church setting. But order is one of the greatest foundations for productivity. To be productive, you need order, things set in motion. I know on the job site, working as a tradesman, you need things set in order. We would always use the word, you don't want to get the horse before the cart. Or the cart before the horse. Let me say it right. The cart before the horse. That makes better sense. You don't want to be putting the mud on the wall when you have something else to do. You don't want to be putting the finish on the wall when you don't have the base coat on. You don't want to be starting down here and trying to put the finish or the trim on a window when you don't even have the drywall hung. You don't want to be hanging the drywall when you don't have the insulation or the utilities installed. It's all backwards. Well, it can go the same way in your home and in your life. There's no order. There's chaos. It doesn't make sense. And so what happens is you become frustrated with the situation because you refuse or don't want or don't recognize that you need order. 2024 will be a year that we will need better order, godly order. There's more. Matthew chapter 28. Now, this is a verse that we were going to look at tonight. And I want to launch a little vision. And I already introduced, as we move to Matthew chapter 28, our phrase, our slogan for the year is, go ye therefore, going, and that is, he said, what is the church up to for 2024? What is your goal? What is your vision? Going, teaching people to go and do something what God has commissioned us to do, whether that's witnessing, whether that's preaching, whether that's missionaries, whether that's supporting missionaries, whatever it is, we want to go and do that, what God has called us to do. Let's look at and see what Christ said. Now, this is one of the last great commissions that he gives his apostles. Matthew chapter 28, notice with me verse 19. our phrase or our verse for this morning. He says, go ye therefore, and then he tells, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So, well, that was given to the apostles. And let me add, and the apostles are the pillars and the ground of the truth, the church is, and that's what the church is built on, the doctrine of the apostles. And so the apostles, if you look at Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 10, you see where they put hands on the men and those and sent them out because of the Great Commission. And so we'll see something else here, that we not only need prayer and scripture and forgiveness and order, but we're going to need the gospel. Christ's last command must be our first priority. Let me ask this question this morning. Are you regularly sharing the gospel with the lost people you know that are around you? Most of us just fall in the category of really not caring. Caring means you do. Non-caring means you probably don't. You say, man, that's pretty simple or pretty black and white. It is, but I only got 5 minutes, so we got to get really to it. Here's what I'm saying. With the gospel, it's not just the pastor, the deacons, or the lay, or the preachers, or who, it's every one of us. I think I asked this last Sunday, do you have a son or daughter, a spiritual son or daughter? Somebody that you've led to Christ, a fruit that remaineth, the Bible speaks of it as fruit, spiritual fruit. Do you have a son or daughter? It might be a family member, a loved one that you're related to. It might be one of, maybe your best friend. It might be an enemy, somebody you don't really like, but you had the opportunity to witness to them and they've received Christ. Here we see we will need the gospel. And it was Christ's last command to the disciples or the apostles here. And our question is, are you regularly sharing the gospel to the lost people you know? Not just the world in general, but to the people you know that know you. And then secondly, are you sacrificially giving to world evangelism? So I give my tithe. That's to keep these lights on. World evangelism, missionaries, that's for the other people, other uttermost parts of the earth. I would like to, and you'll see us begin to teach and preach and ramp up the part of go ye therefore will be a part that we play in the world evangelism, in our missionary, in our missions. How much do we pray? How much do we think about world missions? Are you willing to grow in both sharing and giving? Say, well, I don't know about my willingness, but I'm open-minded to the part of learning how to share more of what God has given me or blessed me with, and I'm willing to give. How many would say that this morning? I'm willing to do that. I have a heart, a willingness to grow in this area of sharing and giving. Hopefully you can answer that and say yes on the positive. But there's another place here. Lastly, let me share this with you. I'm out of time. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. So we see that we will need prayer in this new year. We will need scripture, God's word, and we will need forgiveness. Yeah. Amen? Then we will need order. There's going to be areas that we're just going to need more order in our lives. It might be in faithfulness. It might be in prayer, praying. It might be in reading or studying our Bible, or maybe a family devotion, having some order put or place. Look, this is the time of the year where you set New Year's resolutions. How many has been thinking about your New Year's resolutions? I'm already on my diet, so it's not going to be a diet. Unless Allison said you need two diets. One's not getting it done. You laugh, but I've been on two before. You ever do that? Think, I'll double stack on top of this. That's a nightmare. Don't do that. But our New Year's resolution, look, we're there. We understand that part. In 2024, as a child of God, I want to encourage you, look, there's some things that we need for this new year. It's not going to be an easy year. It can be a blessed year in accordance to spiritually speaking, but physically it might not be the best year. You might get the bad news from the doctor. You might have to deal with a situation or a death in your family or your life. That might be coming your way, and it might not. But you're going to need God, the things of God. And here, we're going to need this. I'm going to stay on track with ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice with me verse number 2. We'll pick our last thing that we will need in this new year coming up. The Bible says in verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." I see here, sixthly, we will need discipling. There is discipling. I am pro-discipling. New Christians are our responsibility given by God. Think of it as if you're a parent. Your child that God gives you, blesses you with, or children, plural, then they're your responsibility to raise and to take care of, to rear up, to protect, to watch over and to take care of. Same with a new Christian, a child of God. And so we must be willing to commit ourselves. That's why in verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." Now here's the thing. You are constantly, and I am constantly, teaching. So we could look at it like this. If we duplicated the type of Christian that you are, or I am, what type of Christian will we produce? Would we want that type of Christian? So here this verse says, "And that the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Are you able, are you willing to teach others? When it comes to the world or secular situation, we'll jump at that chance. It's an opportunity to do something great in the community or organization. But when it comes to the things of God and maybe like teaching a Sunday school class or be a helper or working in junior church or whatever the case may be, all of a sudden we just kind of like, ooh. That's when I go back to the primary function. Is God really a priority in your life? Our actions say so many different things other than what we want people to perceive of us, that God is a priority in our life when he isn't. What type of Christian would you produce for God? You see, in 2024, it's going to take some teaching, some discipling, and it might be you doing the teaching and the discipling. Hopefully, it's a good thing. Hopefully, it's the right type of discipling, and you're not teaching bad habits. You don't have to do that. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to pray. Just come to the pastor when everything's fall apart and let him pray over you. Ah, amen. No, we want to be better Christians than that. 2024, these years aren't getting easier to get through, man, especially as you get older. I'm saying this morning there's going to be some things in this new year coming up that you need to get a grip, and I need to get a grip on. Prayer. Scripture. Being forbearing and forgiving one another, brothers and sisters. I just don't think they should do that. I don't think that's right. Where's the forgiveness? Where's the forbearance? Out of all the people we should have moral leeway with would be a child or a brother or a sister in Christ. Order. I'm not much on order. I'm not much on a lot of stuff either, but there's a lot of stuff that I still do and need to do and have to do. Essential. And so we will need order in our areas. We'll need the gospel. Now we need music. No, we need emotional. No, we need this. We need that. We need to be doing. No, we need the gospel. We need to focus on what God has already commissioned us to do. And then we need discipling. Man, I don't know about 2020. I don't think I want to be part of that. Hopefully you do, because God wants you to be part of it. I want you to be part of it. And I'm telling you something. Your family needs you to be part of this. Your church needs you to be part of this. And your nation needs you to be part of this. We want to pass the bucks ever so easily, ever so smoothly, but it's really just you and I. That's where the buck stops. Let's all stand this morning things we will need in 2024. As the song leader comes, Brother Jeff and Miss Leah, we get ready to sing a song. I ask that you pray and ask God those questions. Have I led anybody to Christ? Is that what, if that's what that's about, that's what that's about. Ultimately, at the end of this thing, as Pastor Tom and I were talking this morning, and I didn't quote it, it's in Corinthians, but the verse says, in all things that we do, we're to bring glory to God. If you're not praying, if you're not reading scripture, if you certainly aren't willing to forgive a brother or a sister, if you don't care for any godly order in your home or in your country or in your personal life, you're not bringing any glory to God. We're bringing glory to self and to man, but not to God. So before this year starts, we're still in 2023, just ever so slightly. One of the last messages is to understand that, look, I'm going to need some things. I'm going to need some essential things in 2024 to get you through. Brother Jeff, what do we say?
270.